What a delight to be with you. Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. I really thank the Lord for our young people. So exciting to see God working in their lives. And I'm so glad, Pastor, I was able to be here and watch these kids come across, two of my grandchildren. They're the future. They're going to be up here doing the singing one of these days. Amen. You're not wasting your time when you give your life to young people. It's the greatest ministry that anybody could ever be involved in. And you will not lose your reward. Amen. The Lord has been so good to Crown College. In 91, it was started in Powell, Tennessee. There are many workers out there in the field today because of Dr. Sexton's vision. A couple years back, the college in England was established. There are over 10 couples that are either there or on their way to take over church buildings and start churches. We have one in Oxford, England. In fact, the Gillett's son is just taken over a church there. And Derek Moreland, who many of you may remember, that was a student at Crown College, him and Juliana are serving in Oxford, and Brother Zinker's doing a great job there. God's done some great things in opening a country that is being taken over by the Muslims. And thank God there's still a witness. And then 6 years ago, Crown Southwest was established, and we came in to further the cause and continue on the great work of Norris Bible Baptist Seminary. And it's thrilling to see what God's doing. And I'm so grateful for it. And then the Lord gave us Lake Texoma Baptist Youth Camp, 43 acres of property. The most expensive gift we've ever been given. But I'm amazed how God has provided. We just remodeled the pool that holds 250,000 gallons of water, 100 feet by 50 feet, 60 feet. And it's ready for the kids. Amen. And God has met the need once again. He always does, you know. He comes through. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle how God works. And I'm so glad that we can have a small part in it. And I thank the Lord for the students that will be coming to camp, that will ultimately be coming to our college. So you pray. Put us on your prayer list. Amen. Let's stand together as we read some scripture. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to take you on a little chronological journey here in the life of Joshua. Many of you are familiar with the life of Joshua. Joshua was a man that was the second man to Moses. And in chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into a land that which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Go to verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Well, things went great. They came to the Jordan River. And what a great victory took place there. They were able to see passage across that Jordan River and into what we would call the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But there was a problem. There was a city called Jericho there that needed to be dealt with. And I want to tell you something. God knows how to get His work done. Let's pray together. May we, our Heavenly Father, speak to us by Your Spirit. Please, Lord, may we find the formula for spiritual success. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You thought I was going to have you stand through the whole message, didn't you? Joshua has come to a time in his life where he had seen a great victory. They were able to go across the Jordan River on dry ground. In fact, the Bible tells us that here in this passage, these passages of Scripture, that the Lord made it clear. He said, I have removed the reproach of Egypt from off you. He also said, on the day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all of Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. So Joshua had established a leadership role. He had the power of God upon his life, and the reproach of Egypt had been gone. And now they're getting ready to do great exploits for God. And they just completed a great exploit by coming across the Jordan River. But there's those walls of Jericho looming. And Joshua needs to know God's formula to defeat that city. And that brings me to verse 13 of chapter 5. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, I want you to notice this man's got a sword in his hand. And Joshua, no doubt, has his sword in his hand. And he says, art thou for us? Or for our adversaries? Are you for God and Israel, or are you for Jericho? That's the question. And this man stands there, no doubt, with great assurance, being the captain of the host of the Lord. I believe this is a Christophanes. An appearance of the Lord Jesus in his pre-existent state, standing there. And when the question is asked, he says, nay. Now that probably surprised Joshua a little bit. You mean you're not for us? And you're not for our adversary? Who are you anyway? And then the Bible tells us here, he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Now, I want to tell you something. Joshua had experienced great visitations of God under Moses' leadership. He was on the mount when the Lord came down in a paved work of a sapphire stone and met with the 70 elders, and he saw all these miracle things taking place. He knew who the captain of the host of the Lord was. And notice what he does. He said, and it says, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? He's all ears. And I love this next verse. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Wow. You see, there are times in our lives when God will drive us on our knees, put us on our face before Almighty God. I use the phrase, you better fall on your face or you're going to fall on your face you don't spend time with God, you are going to mess up. Hundreds and thousands before you have, and many will after you're gone. There's something about falling upon our face before God in humbleness. In this case, here we find a man that has been victorious. Here's a man that knows God. Here's a man that's on fire for God, and God is using. But you see, Joshua was looking for a formula for Jericho, and the captain of the Lord's host wanted him to worship. Worship always must come before work. You know, we do a lot of strategizing, and we try to figure out how we can do what we need to do to build and make God's work successful. And He's not interested in that as much as He is interested in us worshiping Him. And Joshua fell upon his face before the Lord. Have you ever done that? Sometimes it's a crisis that brings us to that point. Sometimes it's when we need to know the will of God for our lives. Sometimes it's because we just love Him. Have you ever just gotten alone with God and fell on your face and said, I'm so glad that I know You and that I can serve You, that I can do Your bidding? I want you to notice in chapter 6, verse 1, the Lord gives him the formula to take Jericho. See, the Lord was interested in worship. Joshua was interested in conquering. But you'll not conquer much unless you're worshiping God. You know, there's such a thing as being filled with the Spirit of God. Most people go strictly on their own ability, their own expertise. We can do this. It can be done. And God is saying, oh yeah? You really think so, huh? God can dry things up. He can parch that ground to where you say, we need a rain. We need a holy anointing from God upon our lives, upon our family, upon our churches, upon the man of God, that we might be able to go forward with God's power upon our lives. Well, God gave him the formula, and boy, he ran with it. He gathered Israel together and they marched around that city, and many of you are familiar with the story that they cried out and they blew the trumpets and a great noise came forth and they shouted and God opened up the earth and caused the walls of Jordan that were 4 chariots wide on the top just brought it right down to where they could step over and go right into the city. Conquer the city. You think maybe Joshua was on a spiritual high at that point? Do you think maybe he knew that worship paid off? And I'm sure he's excited and thrilled about what the Lord has done. And of course, Jericho was a place where all of the spoil was to be given to God. This was God's glory. This was God's miracle. This was God's doing. Man could not take credit for it. And then we come to chapter 7. Then the children of Israel committed a trespass. And you know, I never noticed this till I was reading it. I always thought that Achan committed the trespass. But look what it says. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. You see, they'd been warned in chapter 6, verse 18, that they were not to keep anything for themselves. But all the silver and the gold, verse 19, and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Well, Achan, he got an idea. He thought he would violate the commandments of the Lord and get away with it. Oh, how naive we are to think that we can get away with anything with God. Be sure, your sin will find you out. So he hid those things and brought them into his tent, and you can't tear up a tent and bury something without Mama knowing. She thought, wow, amen. We'll bring those out after a little while and we'll cash them in and we'll do good. This will be good. About that time, Joshua said to the Israelites, let's go up to Ai in verse 2, which is beside Bethaven by the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view that country. And the men went up and they viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor hither, for they are but a few. So there went up hither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And notice what Joshua does. He rent his clothes and he fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, even until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. You ever felt like something was wrong? I hope the next time you feel like something's wrong, you'll fall upon your face before the Lord. Joshua begins to cry out, and listen to what he says. Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. You know, when you're not right, and you know you can be not right like that, that fast. You can be on a spiritual high, and the next moment, wham! Something comes, sideswipes you, T-bones you, and all of a sudden you're like desperate, and you're wishing that you were back on the other side of Jordan. And the Israelites, and they wandered in the wilderness, they wished they could go back to Egypt, which is a type of the world. Why would we want to go back? We've been delivered from it. Why would we want to go back? You see, our thinking becomes skewed when we get backslidden. Watch this. Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall in ever around about, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? I'm worried about you, Lord. I'm worried about your name. We ought to be worried about ourselves. God can take care of himself. Now watch this. And the Lord said unto Joshua, I think the Lord got tired of Joshua's prayer. Because he said, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? There's a couple things I know the Lord doesn't like it when we pray in bitterness. And we do. You ever get mad at God? How come God blesses everybody else, but he doesn't bless me? I'm a better Christian than that person is. Sister Flapjaw over here in the church, she's always causing trouble and she's just being blessed. Old Mr. Proud Arrogance over there that can't keep his mouth shut, he seems to be prospering, and here we are struggling and rubbing pennies together and trying to make it. This isn't right, God. Why don't you do something? You know what God's trying to do? He's trying to get us right. He said, get up. You know, there's a time not to pray. Amen. We're always talking about you need to pray. Sometimes the Lord's saying, you've done too much praying. I'm sick of your prayers. He did tell Israel that he was sick of their sacrifices and their oblations. He was sick and tired of their sacrifices that they were making. And he was saying, I'd rather not have any sacrifices than to have a sacrifice of hypocrisy. Boy, we can be hypocrites if we're not careful. The other day I was reading a book by Charles Finney. And it's on revival lectures. And he was going through what are the characteristics of a backslider. And I thought, you know, boy, this would be a good message. I could preach this. Well, there's 21 points. And about number 4, I ran into a problem. And by the time I got to 21, I knew I was in trouble. I had to conclude that Dan Knickerbocker is a stinking backslider. I can't preach that one yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, get up. There's sin in the camp. And I'll tell you, he dealt with it. Israel hath sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. One man sins, everybody's guilty. Everybody pays. You know, your family, if you have one person in your family mess up, everybody suffers. Right? Same thing with the church. I'll tell you what, I'd be scared to get death to cause any trouble in the home or in the church for fear that Dan Knickerbocker could be the one keeping God's blessing. We need to live squeaky clean lives. Amen. We need to walk humbly before the Lord. We need to confess our sin, and we need to not hold bitterness or resentment or anger in our lives. All of that must be done away with. It must be destroyed. Well, Joshua finds out who it is. He brings Achan before him. He brought, verse 19, it says, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Did you know God already knows what we've done? Or what we haven't done? So many times we deceive ourselves to think that nobody's going to know, and it's just a little sin. Not to God. He doesn't categorize sin. It's just sin. For one person, it might be not even considered a sin. Where another person that fears the Lord, it would be an awful sin. You see, what we do is we categorize it. We put it in different places and in our minds, and we justify things that we ought not to be justifying. And we could be literally backslid on God and not even think we are. We can deceive ourselves. But you'll notice here that he spoke. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw the eye gate, when I saw the spoils, a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the midst of the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. Behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the silver, the garment, the gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. They brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. The sin was dealt with. I got thinking about that. I thought, you know, what if just before when Achan had heard that they were getting ready to go up to Ai, he had thought, you know, I don't want to be one that troubles Israel. Honey, let's grab that gold and silver and that Babylonian garment and let's go see Joshua. Do you think maybe the Lord would have forgiven him? Do you think maybe his family would have been spared? No doubt, because there's no one more long-suffering than our great God. If we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, may God help us. But that's not what happened. Achan paid. His wife, his innocent children, everything that he had became spoiled because of sin. Too bad Achan hadn't fallen on his face before the Lord. For if he had, he wouldn't have fallen upon his face when he was stoned and burned with fire. Oh, may there be a lesson for us here tonight. May you think about people in the Bible that fell upon their face before God. You know, David sinned against the Lord in committing sin with Bathsheba. You remember that story. Boy, did he pay the rest of his life for that one. But Psalm 51 is in the Bible. And he cried out to God, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. I believe that God is a God of long suffering. He's gracious. He's merciful. But he's a God of judgment." Don't let God's mercy and grace run out, because the only thing left will be judgment. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, oh, if I were you tonight, I would take seriously your life before the Lord. I would ask you this evening to be honest before the Lord. He already knows. You could come to the Lord tonight and say, "Lord, you know what I've done wrong, or what I'm doing wrong, or what I'm planning on doing wrong." And there'd be a loving God that would be there to meet you and lovingly forgive you and cleanse you from unrighteousness. Oh, if you're not saved this evening, come and accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, who bore your sin in his own body on the cross. Come and accept Christ as your Savior. Let's stand together, may we? The altar's open. Maybe tonight would be a good time to fall upon your face before the Lord. Say, "Lord, you know me. You know my inward parts. You know the hidden parts. You know the secret parts. Lord, I come and I ask you to cleanse me. Fill me with your power and your spirit. That I might have victory instead of defeat. That I might have the joy of the Lord again. Isn't that something David said? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. May God help us. May God help all of us to know what it's like to fall upon our face before the Lord in humility. Say, God, I can't do it without you. I don't even want to try. I want your power for Christian living. I want to enjoy my Christian life instead of enduring it. I want the power of God instead of defeat and frustration. Oh, may God help us, Pastor.